Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at God's Word to Man @gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whenever the Lord gives them to us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, for those of you who have been following us on Blog Talk Radio, once again, you know how we do this before we go into the lesson. We always pray for those of you who maybe is first time listeners, before we go into the lesson. Or to the message, we always open up with prayer, inviting the Spirit of the Lord to be with us and to give us what we stand in need of. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, today for another blessed day, you have blessed us to see. And Father, we ask today, Lord God, once again, as we petition you in humility, for not only just the presence of your Spirit, but Father, what your Spirit can give unto us. And Lord God, we need revelation, understanding. We need light. Lord God, that we may understand what is in the mind of God. We may understand what's the will of God. So, Father, help us this day, Lord, as we take this journey once again into this lesson, into the Word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And, Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. I want to offer another opening scripture in this series. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. This is our opening scripture to this section of the series tonight. Amen. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. And for those of you, hey, who's listening, if you don't have your Bibles with you, hey, I ask for your undivided attention, you know, as we go into the lesson today. Amen. But for those of you that do have your Bibles, let us go to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. This will be our foundation scripture. This is our opening scripture where we will launch off from, amen, as we go into the message today, amen. Praise be to God. Now, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, the word of God said, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." Now, God was talking to his people, and he said, I want you to cry aloud and spare not. And this is the time, as born-again believers, we have to cry out against sin. We have to cry out against abomination. We got to cry out against that which is not the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Amen? And one of the problems with many believers today is that we've become like the ostrich. We're sticking our head in the sand. Every time we face a confrontation where we need to stand and call it what God calls it. Amen? So we're told to cry aloud and spare not. And so for those of you who have listened thus far as I started this series, and for those of you that are first-time listeners, I want to explain to you that I have started a series. I actually started this series Sunday night, and it's overall dealing with the Jehovah's Witness. And it's dealing with what they believe and what they teach. Okay? This series is going to be divided into different parts or different sections. And I want to encourage you all who may have first-time listeners who did not hear the beginning of this series, you can click on, if you're on this page, you can look to the God's Word to Man logo on your left, I believe. You can click on it and go to the past episodes and you can hear it. And I want to encourage you to go back to the episode on Sunday, which was the beginning of this series, Jehovah Witness, the founder, okay? Last night, I did Jehovah Witness, the Trinity. what they say or believe concerning the Trinity. And what it is that on Sundays, it's going to be by Jehovah's Witness, the founder. Tuesday, it's going to be on Jehovah's Witness concerning what they say about the Trinity. Now, tonight on Wednesday, it's going to be on Jehovah's Witness, Jesus deity. Jesus deity. What they have to say about the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, tonight, we're going to answer a couple questions in this part of the section of this whole series. And as I told you all before who have been listening in the beginning of this series, I'm going to reiterate it to those of you who are first-time listeners. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you on the research of what the Jehovah's Witness believe or teach, and then I'm going to give you actually what the Word of God has to say on that. Now, for those of you who are professing to be saved, here's the thing. Some of you won't stand, won't speak up because some of your good friends are Jehovah's Witness. Or maybe some of your family members are Jehovah's Witness. And so you're afraid to speak up because you want to, quote, cause a problem with you and the people. Well, this is what I say to you that take that kind of stand. You got a decision to make. It's either going to be all Jesus or not. Jesus said he that hates his mother, brother, sister, and when he used the word hate, he wasn't talking about literally hate. He means love less. In other words, if you don't love the family, I mean, if you don't love Jesus more than your family, then you're not worthy to be his disciple. You got Jehovah's Witnesses teaching, let's just say, for example, if they were teaching Jesus was a cow, and you know he's not a cow, but you're too afraid to speak up, and then some of us won't speak up because we, quote, call ourselves keeping the peace. Keeping the peace doesn't mean agreeing with the doctrine of men or the doctrine of the devil. That is not God talking about keeping the peace. God is telling you not to be in contentious, be a contentious person. But people have gotten the love of God mixed up and keeping peace mixed up. And they think that when God tells you to love a person, that you accept their sin or abomination. And that is not what God is saying, okay? That's not the love of God. Some think that for you to, when God said be at peace with all men, they think that that means you accept their abominable acts. You accept, quote, their gods. That is not what that means. Amen? Hallelujah. Now tonight, we're dealing with this part concerning the Jehovah's Witness about Jesus' deity. And once again, we're going to answer a couple of questions. And these two questions I'm going to name to you. And maybe you got pencil and paper with you. You can jot it down. If not, you know, hey, just listen along with us. And I'm going to give you these two questions. And I'm going to give you what the Jehovah's Witness teach and believe. And then we're going to go into the Word of God and tell you what God's word has to say on it, okay, to answer these two questions, okay? Now, before I give you these questions, I want you to understand this, too, that the Jehovah's Witness have a book called the NWT, and the NWT is called the New World Translation, and it's supposed to be, and I put quotation marks around that word, it's supposed to be the translation of the Bible. I'm here to tell you firsthand, no, it's not, okay? No, it's not. And this is why we're going in this series, because we're going to see what God has to say versus what the Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching, okay? Now, the two questions that we're looking to answer tonight in this part of the series, question number one, is Jesus and God the same being? Is Jesus and God the same being? Or are they two different beings? Okay. Question number two. Was Jesus being the Son of God, or was Jesus the Son of God and not God himself? Okay. These two questions is really, in a sense, you can look at it, they are together. But we're going to answer it tonight. Amen. Now, I want to give you what the Jehovah's Witness has to say on this subject of the deity of Christ, his lordship, or whether he Him and God's the same person, two different people and all that. Okay. Now, I told you that they have a book called the NWT, but they also had written other kind of books too. Okay. So you're going to hear me name some of these other books and what they say on this subject from this book. Amen. Okay. Now, hallelujah. In one of their books that they got called The Truth Shall Make You Free, this is what they say on this concerning this question, these two questions that I asked you. This is what they teach, what they believe. They said the true scriptures speak of God's Son, the Word, as a God, little G. He is a mighty God, but not Almighty God, who is Jehovah. Did you hear that? So in other words, they said that, and for those of you who had listened last night, I had told you in their NW, their book called The New World Translation, they got Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 1, being a God, little G. So they're like they was telling you, or they're telling you that there are two gods. And so here from what I read to you, the Jehovah Witness is saying Jesus and God is not the same being. Jesus is a God, little G, but he's not Almighty God. That's interesting. Okay. I want to read something else that they say on that. They got another book called The Word. Who is he? This is what they said in that book. They said, Jesus was the Son of God, not God himself. That's what they said. That's what they believe. They believe he was, quote, the Son of God, but not God himself. Amen. Now, we're going to go into the Word of God, and I'm going to let the Word of God speak to you. Amen. So let's go to the book of Titus, the New Testament, chapter 2. Book of Titus, chapter 2. That's the book after Timothy, 2 Timothy. The book of Titus only got three chapters. One book, three chapters. We're going to go to book of Titus, chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 13. So the Jehovah Witness believe and teach that Jesus, they said Jesus was the Son of God, but he was not God himself. Okay. Now, this may be this, and I think this is also a question that maybe even some professing Christians want to know. You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, they hear Jesus say this and say that, and they want to say, well, is Jesus and God the same person? Well, look at Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And look what it says. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Scripture right here is not only calling Jesus our Savior, but what? The great God. Capital G. Hallelujah. The Word of God is telling us right here, thank you, Jesus. The Word of God is telling us right here that Jesus and God is the same person. He's called the great God. Okay? Not only is he called our Savior, let's look at that again. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the what? Of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is not only called the Savior in this verse, but what? The great God. Jesus and God, according to here, in this scripture here, is the same being. So the Jehovah Witness is wrong. So here Paul is telling Jehovah Witness, you're wrong. Amen. Now, for those of you who are first-time listeners, I tell you that as we go into the scripture, we're going to follow God's protocol of establishing his word. God said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Okay? In other words, let me put it to you this way. And they ain't just coming up with any kind of scripture. This has got to be true, proven from the word. For example, if someone came to you and say, you know, it is God's will for you to be sick, you got the right to say, hey, it's God's will for me to be sick. Where is that at? Is that scripturally proven? Well, yeah. Well, see, they got to prove it to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, I'm going to tell you, they wouldn't be able to really prove that in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, we can prove in the mouth of two or three witnesses even more that God's will for you to be healed and not sick. Amen? Hallelujah. But I'm giving you an example of how we're going tonight. So, and I'm going to give you just one more example, and we'll go on. It's just like if someone comes to you and say, you know what, God told me that he has called you to be a prophet. Well, here's the thing. That person that told you may be telling the truth. God may have gave them that. But see, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that you need a couple more witnesses, one or two more witnesses. One of that witness has to be in your own spirit. You have to have a confirmation in your own spirit. Because what they're telling you may be a confirmation. Then look at the other side of it. What they told you, God probably didn't give it to them. And see, if you go run and try to jump in the office of a prophet, you're in a place where God didn't put you, and there have been people who have died prematurely operating in the wrong place, okay? So, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So, when the Jehovah Witness says that Jesus Christ, to sum it up, and God is not the same being, Paul tells us in his message to Titus that Jesus is the great God and Savior. So, Jesus is not only the Son of God, but he is God, the same being. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. You know, I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost behind the Spirit of the living God just bearing witness to me. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, not John in the front. I'm talking about John in the back. You know, some people you had to say it too. I'm going to be honest with you, not trying to be funny. But some people don't even hardly read their Bible. When you mention certain books, they like, where that at? And you be like, now, wait a minute. But anyhow, 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 1. Now, this is John, beloved, testifying to us. And let us see what he has to say on the subject. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Uh-oh. Say what? Let's read that verse again. Because it looked like right here John is saying also that Jesus and God are the same person. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the who? With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, we know God is referred to many times as what? The Father. So now, Jesus, right here, John is telling us that Jesus and God are the same person. Because look what he called Jesus, the Father. Do you get that? Jesus and God is not two different people. They're the same being. And as we go on this series, we're going to talk a little bit more, why that's so. Amen. But they're the same person. They're not two different people. Okay? Amen. Just like when I did yesterday on concerning the Trinity. And there's some, and get this, there are even some professing Christians who claiming that the Trinity, three gods in one. And that ain't true. Because remember, as we looked at yesterday, God told us through Isaiah that I am the only God, and besides me, there is no other. Amen. And he repeated it in two verses. And he made sure he got this thing over to us. Okay? So Jesus is not a little G God. He is God. Hallelujah. Amen. He is God. Amen. And see, the Jehovah Witness is making it out to you that there's two gods, as they say, Almighty God and Jesus, the little G God. Amen. This is the reason why we have to study the word. Okay? This is one of the reasons why. When God told you to study the word. See, God just talking stuff. Okay? People must understand this. And see, for those of you that think you don't have to study the word and know it for yourself, watch what I tell you before the smoke clears, what's going to happen. Because what you're doing now, you're trying to stand on your own strength. Now, you can come with all that God understands all you want to. And I'm going to tell you just like this. I agree with you. God do understand. He understands you don't want to do what he says. When God told us in the second book of Timothy chapter 2, he said, study to show thyself approved. What do we think he said it for? Just to be talking in vain? No, there's a purpose behind that. See, when you study that word and meditate on it and let that word keep you there. But see, if you ain't putting that word in you, guess what? When them troubles come up, whoop, you finna give up. You finna turn on God. Now, I know when I said that, some of y'all probably stuck your chest out and said, no, not me. I tell you what, keep on going the way you're going without getting in that word, without spending time with Christ. And the same one of you that kept saying, not me, watch what you're going to say. You're going to be saying, oh, me. Oh, me. I didn't know. Oh, me. Yep, you're going to be saying that. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. See, God gave Isaiah part of the plan that he was going to do. Now Isaiah is going to speak this even before God come in the flesh, even before Christ manifests in the flesh. Okay? He's going to speak this because God gave him a part in dealing with the plan that he had, what he was going to do for man and the way he had to come. Now, notice what he says here. He says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, get this, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, capital G, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, who is this referring to? Jesus. Because remember, we just looked at 1 John chapter 2. He called Jesus the Father. So here, Isaiah was giving the people the plan of God coming in the flesh. When he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, that he was going to come in the human flesh, that he was going to come as a baby. He was going to come in the flesh. But look what he's called. He's called the Mighty God. Hallelujah. Jesus and God are the same person, people. They're not two different beings. They're the same being. Same being. Hallelujah. Glory. Not two different ones. See, like I said, you got people going around here saying there's three gods. You got people like Jehovah's Witness saying there's two gods. Okay? No, there's only one true living God. One. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for his word. We're going to look at verses 21 to verse 23. Now, remember, Joseph, having met Mary, and he hadn't had no relations with Mary, you know what I mean? She didn't know no man. But all of a sudden, he look up and he see her pregnant. So, amen. So, you know what he think? Hey, come on. You know what he thinking, you know? Okay, something ain't right here. Something bad ain't right. You know, you pregnant. You and I haven't been together. You didn't know no man. And he was thinking about, at least he wasn't going to try to make her embarrass her. And the Bible said he sought to put her away privately, secretly, you know. And so while he's thinking on this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And in the dream, the angel is giving him the message of the Lord. He said, hey, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So, Joseph, you ain't got to worry about where she's been with some other man. and trying to fool around with you. That ain't it. He said, this is something that is done by the Lord. And then he goes on to say in verse 21, he said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God, capital G, with us. Do you see that? So here it's talking about Jesus. And Jesus is called also the Emmanuel, which means what? God, capital G, with us. Hallelujah. Jesus and God is the same being. Now, you got the angel of the Lord that's told this, or here in Matthew. You got Isaiah that told you. That's the second witness. The third witness, you got Paul telling you that Jesus and God are the same person in the book of Titus. And the fourth witness, John, just told you that Jesus is called the Father. Now, you got four witnesses right there. Four witnesses that let you know that Jesus and God is the same person. Amen. Once again, there is no two different people, okay? Two different beings, rather. They're the same being. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to read from one of the messages of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus sent through his angel, the Elijah. You know, once again, I want to say this again. You know, in Matthew 17, Jesus promised that Elijah will first come and restore all things. Amen. And he told you who Elijah was in that 17th chapter of Matthew, John the Baptist. And also when he said that, John was already dead. So you'd be like, okay, if John is the Elijah, and Jesus, you talking about he's going to come back and he's going to restore all things. How are you going to do that? He dead. Well, apparently it was the reason why he told you that. He's telling you that John was going to come back as the Elijah, which he had been doing. Malachi chapter 4, he gave it to Malachi. He said, behold, I send Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. God said, I'm going to send you Elijah. Once again, who is that? The resurrected John the Baptist. So God has been sending him thus far 120 times, first 30 times to a brother named Brother Otto Fetty from 1927 to 1933, and the next 90 times to a brother named Brother W.A. Dres, 1937 to 1994, thus far, 120 times, okay? I said thus far, because he's not through coming until the work is complete, or the Lord is completely finished after his pattern. Now, when Jesus sent him the 84th time, which is referred to as message 84, and when Jesus sent him, November the 3rd, 1966, I want to read to you one of the verses of the message that the angel of the Lord brought from Jesus Christ to man and all that will be of the bride. And this verse is in connection with the subject we are on tonight. Amen. That Jesus and God is the same person. Amen. So Jesus sending the Elijah, this is what he says. He says, I am he that is called I am. I am the great white spirit. I am he that is called Shiloh. I am all in all. I am the only living God, creator of the universe, ruler and judge of all. I am the chief cornerstone. I am the stone the builders reject. I am the Christ, the Son of Man. I am God. Woo, I change not. I am he that is called Jehovah. I am Jesus Christ. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am the Lord. I am he that will manifest in the flesh, death, and resurrection. I am he that is risen. I am the Lord God. Do you see that? So he's telling you that Jesus and God is the same person. This same Jesus that sent the Elijah, he told you, he said, I am the Lord God. The same Lord God that sent this Elijah said, I am Jesus Christ. Amen. One being. Not no two beings, one being. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you know about it. See, you it's some of you may say, well, Brother Nate, why are you on him? Listen, the word tells us to cry loud and spare not. By me doing this, it ain't nothing about me trying to beat them down, okay? Or having joy of just, quote, picking them apart. I'm doing this for a reason. Number one, to stand for the faith. Number two, for you as Christians, listen, you got to learn how to minister to people of these, quote, other religions. If you believe that the faith of Jesus Christ is number one. Now, if you don't believe the faith of Jesus Christ is number one, first thing you need to do is quit perpetrating. Quit getting up and serving, talking about Jesus, the head of my life, and I believe in the Lord. If you don't believe the faith of Jesus Christ is the number one faith, then quit perpetrating. Quit getting up in the service talking about Jesus, the head of your life, and you believe in God. No. But if you believe that the faith of Jesus Christ is the best faith, is the number one faith, and there's no other faith greater than that faith, then you got to cry loud and spare not. You got to stand, okay? And see, you're going to need to know, because some of y'all haven't had this confrontation yet. And some of you been hiding in the bushes. That whenever that confrontation come up, you try to run to the pastor all the time or someone else instead of you stand, because why? You haven't been studying the word for yourself. And you're going, whew, I dodged that bullet. Well, guess what? You're not going to be dodging too many more. You're going to have to make a stand. And either you're going to stand for Christ or you're going to fall. Amen. Now, some of you, well, you got to put it that way. Well, yeah, I had to. Got to put it that way. Got to put it that way. Okay? Instead of being the true believers in Christ standing and speaking out against the sin and abomination of the world, we're too busy hiding in the sand. People come up to us and, you know, what do you believe? And we start either fumbling at the mouth or we don't want to. And then and here's the scapegoat card we pull. Well, you know, Jesus loves everybody. Boy, you know, that's one cop-out scripture, one cop-out word. Yes, he loves everybody. But see, many of us is using that just to keep from standing. When these people come to you and say, listen, what do you think about same-sex marriages? What do you think a woman have a right to be with another woman, a man be with another man? Isn't that right? Ain't nothing wrong with that? What do you say? And too many of us to try to cop out of it instead of standing and say, you know what? God called abomination. That's what I call it. God says a sin, and I call it a sin. I believe what God said, and I'm going to stick with God said. Instead of us saying that, we go, you know, Lord, love everybody. Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord had to help me many times when people do that. I had to walk away. Amen. I have to walk away. I said that just, you know, that's fear that it took over and anything else you name. Amen. Won't stand, won't speak up, won't say nothing. Okay. But then in the service at church, man, you can't beat us hollering. You can't beat us falling on the floor rolling and crying real hard and stuff. You can't beat us doing that. But when it comes to really standing, cry loud and spare not, standing for the faith, we shrivel up. As they say, shrivel up like a prune. And see, this is the bad thing about it. Some of us as Christians who are afraid to speak up and stand, we're hiding in the corner. But guess who we persecute? We're persecuting the Christians who are willing to stand. Amazing, ain't it? The ones hiding in the corner is persecuting the ones that are willing to stand and speaking out. You ain't got to do all that. You just, you know, and I'm like, well, you ain't saying nothing. It's okay. You know, I remember especially coming to the time when they voted and same-sex marriages to be legal. It wasn't nothing for news people. Larry King dropped it on Joel Osteen, my Lord. And then Oprah got excited about it and said, hey, I got to have Joel on my show. She drops it on him. And then when they had something about somewhere homosexual or stuff like that, they finding pastors and popping the mic in their face, putting the cameras in their face and all that, popping the mic up to them and want to know what you think about it. And I'm listening to some of these preachers. They use the, quote, the scapegoat thing. And I just look at it and I said, well, I said, Lord, and I begin to see what happened. You know, it's just like Joel Osteen. When Larry King asked him that, he answered, but just I looked at the way he answered. He answered like he was walking on eggshells, you know, fumbling like he fumbling at the bottom. Like, you know, instead of him saying, listen, you know what, I believe what God said, I'm going to stand what God said. Now, he said, you know, the Bible said wrong. And I just looked at the way he was doing it. I said, Lord, what this man, and the fear. The fear. And see, now many have become more and more and more fearful to stand. Amen? Hallelujah. More and more fearful. Thank you, Jesus. And as I told y'all yesterday, when I was living in another part of the town that I'm in now, I used to have many visits from Jehovah's Witnesses. And what, like I said before, I have to give them credit on one thing. When it comes to the going house to house, they there. They're going house to house. I got to give them credit on that. That's why when some of us as Christians decide to go house to house, and we go walk into a house, all you see is the curtain move. Because why? They think you Jehovah's Witness, so they diving over couches or under couches or behind couches, you know, and fail to understand. They just hit the curtain and move the curtain, okay? And you knocking and knocking away, and they ain't even showing up because they think you're a Jehovah's Witness. But I had to give Jehovah's Witness credit on that. Now, I had visits many times from Jehovah's Witness. And I come to learn some things about them. And, you know, if you had some Christian literature to give them, you counsel, they ain't accepting it. Okay. They ain't taking that with them. You can forget that. That's not happening. But they want you to take their books. Okay. And I remember when I was growing up that me and my best friend, and I call him JT, when they had that book called Awake, you know, remember back then, they always wanted 40 cents. You know, they would ask for 40 cents for that book. And it got to a point whenever me and him go walking around town here, whenever we see it, we just go to ducking and hiding and running. I don't care if we saw them coming down the sidewalk first, we'll run some other way and hide. And so we did that for so long, and then one day we just got tired. So listen, we said, we tired of hiding. And so we were walking down this long stretch going to the store one day, and we looked way ahead of us, and who do you think we saw? A couple of Jehovah's Witnesses coming our way. And we just had our mind made up. We ain't running. We going to tell them no. We ain't giving them nothing. So they walked up to us, and they say, and, you know, they start giving their little pitch line and start talking. And we just told them, said, no, we don't want it. We don't want the book. Yeah, okay. And then after they just walked away. And we were surprised. We're like, man, they didn't even ask us for no 40 cents. You know, they asked for no money. And I think that's close to the time right then they had just stopped asking for money for their book. But I want to say this about Jehovah's Witnesses. Some of them are some of the nicest people you'll meet. Amen. Some of them are some of the nice people. But nice ain't going to get it. Now, some of you say, well, what do you mean, brother, they nice? We supposed to be nice. Yes, we do. But born again is what's going to get it, okay? You got a lot of people out there that's nice and good, but they're not saved. And see, what they're going to do is brag upon their own righteousness. You understand what I'm saying? See, you got to be born again. That's why when you talk to certain sinners about getting saved, they give you this whole resume. You know, I don't drink, I don't cheat, I don't do blah, blah. So they be telling you all that, but yeah, you have done some sinful stuff. In fact, I can ask you some questions on some of them. I guarantee you answer me. Yes. But see, that's the resume they give you. So when you go to them and say, hey, would you like to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? And you talk and they go, well, you know, I try to do good to everybody. Now, once they start that line, let me explain to you what that means. I rejecting what you're saying. I'm already good. Don't need them. Don't need to accept it. Amen. Amen. And they give you the whole resume of what they done, you know, how they don't do wrong. I don't drink. I don't smoke. You know, them two especially, they love to throw in there. Because I have questioned some people that wasn't saved, you know, in the past, and that's what they came up with. I let them know, say, well, maybe those certain things you named you didn't do, but you had done some stuff. I know. One thing about it, I can ask you a question. I guarantee you, you'll answer yes to it, which means you've done it. So, amen. So, this is why it's important to study the word for yourself. And I'm telling you, for those of you that claim to be Christians, but you get this, loving the Lord, but I got to say it, but you got a lazy spirit that you won't get in the word, you won't study, you won't spend time with Christ, and you thinking that going on your own strength, you're going to make it. Watch what's going to happen. One of the things you're going to get is embarrassed. Now, people, you might say, well, don't be speaking that old me. No, I'm telling you what you're setting yourself up for. Because when God tells you to get in his word, okay, study to show thyself approved. Get in his word, spend time with him, and you elect not to do it, but you got every other stuff more important. For some of us, it's money. Some of you are working so much overtime that till your eyelids are probably falling down to your cheeks. You can't even hold your head up for 5 minutes when you get into the house. And you're doing that same routine every day. Then you get up in the morning, eat, boom, back to work. Work yourself out of many hours, okay? Because you think, quote, that's where the blessing lies. Listen, God can bless you financially without you getting some overtime. Amen? Why are you limiting God to overtime? Now, don't get me wrong. At times, overtime can be helpful. I'm not speaking 100% against overtime. But to look at overtime being the main thing to say get your financial blessing, you're wrong. Because you're limiting, you putting God in a cycle dealing with man where if man wants to give it, that's the only way God can get bless you through that. No. And see, the Jehovah Witness, they teach us that Jesus is a God, little G. And they're telling you that there are two gods. Well, I'm telling you it's not. And then they're telling you that Jesus and God is not the same person. I'm telling you, they dead wrong. Jesus and God is the same being. I put it to you like this, the same being. Amen. And see, as we go on in the series, I'm talking about the series as a whole, we're going to be talking more on that. Because the question will be, well, how is this so? How is this so that God and Jesus is the same being? Okay? How is this so? And we're going to go into the scriptures on this. Okay? Now, once again, this is something that many Christians may want to know about. Because I'm going to tell you right now, some of you haven't had no encounters with these other religions. But guess what? Get ready, because here it comes. I'm telling you, here it comes. Get ready. Here it comes. Hallelujah. You're going to be able to dodge it too much longer. I want to give my testimony once again on a thing of that nature. Some of y'all heard it. I think I gave it yesterday on Sunday. But I want to say it again for those of you who are first-time listeners. And for those of you who have already heard, I just ask you to bear with me. I ain't trying to wear your ears out. But I like to get this testimony because this thing really opened my eyes. And see, this testimony to how stand in the word and understand that it's that word that's going to give you the victory. Back in 98. I was working at another job I was working at. And it came to appear that, you know, God had been blessing me in his word. I started learning things. And I just broke away from studying. And I did that because now I'm becoming lifted in pride. I'm thinking, oh, I can handle myself now. You know, God showed me this, that I can handle myself. That's God. I guess God said, well, son, you're going to find out the hard way since you want to operate in that kind of spirit. And so I was at work one day, and this other minister comes to me. He's a member of another church. And he began to ask me, he said, what's the name of the church you member of? And I told him. And then he began to ask me questions about the church, okay? And as he was asking me these questions, I found myself went into a blank. And it's like I couldn't hardly answer his question. And get this, it wasn't, and I don't want to say this, it wasn't questions where I shouldn't have known, because at that time I've been in Christ for 8 years. It wasn't something I should have known. It shouldn't have known. It's something I should have known. And that way made me even more embarrassed. Not only could I not answer him, but, man, this is stuff I should have known. Some of you have been in how many years? And stuff that you should know. And please, don't come to me about, well, you don't know everything. I didn't think you know everything. But there's some things, especially if you've been in Christ 10 years, something like that, there's some things, even of the milk of the word, you should know. Okay? If you don't, you know, either you ain't been studying the word or you ain't being taught. It's one of the two, but you should know. But anyhow, when I was at work and he would question me, and man, I just couldn't hardly answer him. And I'm going to tell y'all something, man, that bothered me so bad. I think when he questioned me, we had like, I want to say 4 hours. It may have been 3 hours left. Might have been 4 hours. Might have been 4 hours left. And I'm going to tell y'all something. We had 4 hours left. I didn't even want to stay at work. I was so embarrassed. All I thought about was getting to the house and study. I thought hard about taking the rest of the day off, just telling them I wouldn't need to go home. But I fought through it. But I tell you what, when I got off at 3:30 that evening, I went straight to the house. When I got to the house, I went straight for the books and got back in that word. Because, see, God knew what was needed to light fire under my feet. And, see, some of you under the sound of my voice and listening, see, you taking getting in the word and knowing the word for yourself for granted. And so you're laying on, well, you know, in the present time of trouble, God's present in a time of trouble. Yeah, he is. But you think he's just going to run in, swoop in when you're supposed to be doing your part? No. And see, from the lack of relationship with Christ, this is where some professing believers in the last days, they're going to turn on the Lord. They're going to turn away from God. They're going to, you know, some of these other religions that are going to approach them, they're going to go join them. I'm telling you. I'm telling you what I know. Something going to go join. Why? Because they're not going to be rooted in the word. They're not going to be rooted in the word. See, going to church service, you got to look at it, too, as a learning thing, too. Going to Sunday school. See, you have to put in your mind that you're going to Sunday school to learn. Amen? See, that will hurt a lot of children. Not only in this day and time, but even my day and time growing up. When you had some that, when they went to school, they didn't have on their mind that I'm going to school to learn. They just had in their mind, I'm going to school, you have to go to school. You know. And it shows in their attitude. And that's why many of them wasn't passing, flunking real bad, couldn't even pass one test. Because their attitude was like, I'm just going to school, you have to be going. Not going to learn. And see, you have to approach Sunday school, and you have to approach your own personal study with that same mentality, that I'm getting in this word to learn. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't, people like the Jehovah's Witness and all these other groups, Mormonism and Hinduism, all that, they're going to slap some sweet words at you. Now, some of y'all, when you hear me say that, once again, you're going to stuck your chest out, so no, not me. I'm strong in the Lord. Okay. You try to be strong in the Lord without the word of God. Well, we see how strong you're going to be when they pop those sweet words on you. And next thing you know, you find out you're doing something you ain't got no business doing. You go, oh, I didn't know. I didn't think I would do that. Yeah, because that spirit they operated in overtook you. Amen. Praise be to God. So we're going to stop it there today. Jehovah's Witness, Jesus deity. And as we begin to end this broadcast, let us close out with prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for being God and for being ruler of all things. And Father, I ask, Lord, that everyone that was listening today I pray that they were blessed by the word that I gave them, that I gave it to according to your will and according to your pleasure, Lord. Father, I ask that you water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I thank you for every heart and every soul that was listening. May you bless them, their family, and their loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. The Lord say the same. Don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be coming with another part of to this series, Jehovah Witness, the Holy Spirit. What they have to say about the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at that tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. Praise be to God. So, thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast tonight. It's a Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Just one.